Amen. You can have a seat there. They say Romans chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8 are some of the key chapters in the Bible, as if, you know, some are more important than others. I think you can find Romans 6, 7, and 8 referenced a lot. And there's so much you can pull from it. We're just going to dive in as far as verse 1 this morning and work our way down here to verse number 11. It says, starts this way, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" And God answers the question, but why would somebody ask that? Because if you look up chapter 5, look at verse 20, God's going to tell us here in just two verses up, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." And that's a testimony to say, to help us understand, God will save anybody. Because where sin abounds, if they'll humble themselves, grace can much more abound than anybody's sin in their life. Nobody has sinned too much to where God can't save them. Amen. Amen. So after he says where sin abounds, grace did much more abound, two verses later he says, so shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And the thinking goes something like this. Well, since grace abounds with sin, if we sin more, then that would be us showing God's grace to a world. And God answers, no, you're not thinking right. Yes, we're saved by grace, but we don't sin that grace, so grace can abound, right? In other words, it's backwards. Here he says, God forbid, and then he's going to answer the question. So as you, okay, it says, verse 2, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein or in sin? You see, excuse me, a lost person would get upset reading this. Because how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein, live in sin? And they feel like, well, I'm being asked not to sin. A lost person is never asked not to sin. God expects lost people to get saved. But this is talking about we. How shall we who are dead to sin continue any longer therein? God expects people that are saved to stop sinning. Amen. But God expects lost people to get saved. So he says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Look at verse number 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized. Okay, if we aren't careful, I was taught this wrong the first time I was taught it. Most refer to this verse as water baptism. But the word water is not found in verse 3 or verse 4 anywhere. Romans 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5 show you how to get saved by faith, and water baptism is nowhere to be found in it. Now, all of a sudden, in chapter 6, it says, that's why when we read verse 3, a lot of people use this to, now, once again, I was taught to refer to this verse as water baptism, but look what it's talking about. Romans chapter 6, verse 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. It can't be water baptism. The tank does not put you in Jesus. Yet most reference Bibles in this room, okay, I'm talking about right in the middle, that center column, most people's Bible in this room, when you look at the reference for verse 3, it's going to refer you to water baptism verses. Schofield Reference Bible, all of them. Okay? The references in most Bibles are wrong. I'll say it again. I'll show you here something. Baptism in the tank, water baptism, does not put you in Christ. So when you read the verse, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You know what should be next to verse 3? You should put salvation, not water baptism. Because when you were saved, you were baptized in Jesus Christ. You were placed in Christ when you were saved. Now, that is why we baptize in water. Amen. That's why we don't sprinkle. That's why we don't pour water over your head, because you weren't sprinkled with Jesus when you trusted him as your Savior. Jesus wasn't poured on you when you trusted him as your Savior. You were baptized into, what's the word baptized means? Submerged, completely covered, buried in Christ. You were baptized, completely covered when you got saved. It says, when that happened, we were baptized unto his death, a symbol of that the old life could stop and a new life begin. Look at verse 4. Ready? It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism, here's those words, into death. What dies? The old life. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Old things are passed away. The death. My old life died when I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Then, watch this. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. This is talking about salvation. This is talking about the day you got saved. The day you got saved, you were baptized in Christ. And what's important about this verse is it says Jesus died and was resurrected, so that there was a day you could be saved, and one day you're gonna get resurrected and live with Jesus in heaven. But that's not what this is talking about. This is talking about before you get resurrected, now on this earth, you can live in victory over sin. You can live a victorious, happy Christian life this side of heaven. That's what this is talking about. This isn't talking about when you get to heaven, everything. Well, when we get to heaven, there won't be anything to resist, right? There won't be any old Adam. There won't be any yielding to the Holy Spirit, right? Right now I do have flesh. I do have flesh to deal with. But when we get to heaven, it'll be easy to live for the Lord. Amen. We'll be in a sinless body. Right now we live in a sinful body, sinful flesh. So it says here, so you can have victory over sin after you get saved, not after you get to heaven. Look at verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death. You know what another word for planted is? Saved. If we've been saved, right? Together in the likeness of his death. That's all a picture of salvation. We shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. I know we don't talk this way, but this is pure English, right? Pure words of God, pure truth. So let me see if I can explain it to you. Because Jesus Christ died and rose again in the power of God, since you've got saved, you were put in his death. You were crucified with him. What a thought. 2,000 years ago. That's what it says. It says that in Galatians. I am crucified with Christ. It says when you got saved, you died so that Jesus Christ could live a resurrected life through you now in the likeness of his resurrection. Okay? This is talking about victory. In other words, you can have victory in your life now. It's not talking about one day when we get to heaven. I know everything's going to be wonderful in heaven, but I'm not there yet. And chapter 6 tells me when you were baptized in Christ, when you were saved. Has nothing to do with the tank. Nothing to do. This baptism comes first, right? As a matter of fact, you know what should be referenced right next to verse 4? You know what should be referenced? You write Galatians 3:27 and then just go there real quick. Ready? Galatians 3, we'll come right back here to Romans 6. This is what should be referenced. Not the baptism of Jesus or the baptism of the Ethiopian eunuch. What should be referenced is how baptism in Christ is a picture of salvation. Look at Galatians chapter 3. Look at verse 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. So how are you saved? By faith. By putting your trust in Jesus Christ who died for you. Right? Galatians 3:26. So you become God's child by faith. And then he's going to rephrase it in verse 27. Look at verse 27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You don't put on Christ in the tank. The tank doesn't put Jesus on you or in you. You were baptized again in Christ, submerged, covered, buried when you got saved so that you could live a new life in Jesus Christ after he came inside you to live. That's Romans chapter 6. Go back to Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 6. Here we go. Okay, just so that you get this, I would like you to go back later and read it, and I hope it means something. This little truth that you're going to hear me state about 15 different ways this morning is so helpful in the Christian life. Okay, just stick with it. Romans chapter 6 is a wonderful, powerful chapter. What I'm trying to correct is when we think of water baptism, because we get to praise the Lord. Arissa and Jacob are going to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. But it's because they've been baptized in Christ. It's because they've been saved that they get to do the second baptism. Okay, Romans chapter 6, this has nothing to do with the tank. Here we go. Look at chapter 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man, here we go, is crucified with him. What a thought, 2,000 years ago. So when you trusted Jesus as your Savior, yes, Jesus died for you, but he was making your death available so he could live through you when he died for you. That's a heavy thought. You were crucified with him. Here we go. That's why you're the happiest in the Christian life when you get on the cross where you belong so that Jesus can live through you. My place is on the cross. I need to die. I die daily, right? All those verses. You individually were crucified with Jesus. If you've trusted him as your Savior, you were on the cross. He made it available for your death physically to be on that cross. That's quite a thought, isn't it? And watch this. Knowing that our old man is crucified with him, watch this, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Henceforth, from this day forward, from the day you get saved, from henceforth, you now have a choice. If you've trusted, here's what he's teaching you. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior because you were crucified with Jesus, when he died for you, you don't have to serve sin. You don't have to serve your flesh anymore. That's what we did before we got saved, right? But now we don't have to. I have written at the start of my chapter, Romans chapter 6, now I have a choice. That's what I've called the whole chapter. Before I got saved, I didn't have a choice. I lived in the flesh because I knew nothing else. I cussed and lied and drank and did sin. I sinned because it's all I knew. Now that I'm saved, I don't have to serve sin anymore. I didn't say I was sinless. I said sin is now my choice. Amen? Sin is no longer anything I have to do and can't help. Now that I'm a child of God, this is the convicting part. When I sin, it's because I want to. That's convicting. It's not because I had to. I was crucified. You were crucified with Christ. Then watch, he's going to illustrate this. It says here that we henceforth, from the day you get saved, should not serve sin. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin, free from its power, free from its... Watch, I've got to live in a sinful flesh, but I don't have to... It does not have to control me. I've been freed from sin. Watch, verse 8. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 9. Now, verse 9 and 10 are going to go together. Watch. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. What is that saying? I'll say it again. Jesus Christ died and he'll never die again. He died to die once. He doesn't have to re-die. He died unto sin once. He's risen unto God, and now he's risen from the dead and lives unto God. So when you got saved, you were put in Jesus, who's living unto God. That's how you can live for the Lord. That's how come you don't have to live in sin anymore. Amen. Because if you're in Christ, he's living unto God, a resurrected life. You're in Jesus if you're saved. Now, he's going to give you a way of thinking here. Just a second. Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you reckon something, and you know, we use the words like, well, I reckon. That's not how the Bible uses the word reckon. The word reckon in your King James Bible is used, know it to be so. Act upon it as if it's a fact. Reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. In other words, treat your flesh as though it's dead. Because my flesh isn't. How do I deal with a flesh that has lusts and wants and desires that are very strong and very real? When Jesus saved me, he didn't save my flesh. He saved my spirit. My flesh is still active. So he says, if you want victory over your flesh, you have to think right and reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. In other words, when your flesh wants to do something, say, you're dead. When your flesh wants to run your life, say, you're dead. When your flesh wants to sit on the throne and say, we do what I want to do, you say, I'm not doing what you want to do, you're dead. Here's why. When you please your flesh, you have no way of pleasing your flesh. The eyes of man are never satisfied. You have no ability to satisfy yourself. That's how addiction happens. It takes more and more and more and more. You can't please your flesh. This morning we taught on the separation from the sin of smoking. Let's just use smoking for an example. If you are addicted to smoking, you want that cigarette. And sometimes it might be, Pastor, how long are you preaching? Because I want a cigarette and I need to smoke. I've got a cigarette smoldering in the ashtray. And as soon as we're out of church, it's waiting for me. Did you know, wait a second, Your flesh wants that. So when you go satisfy your flesh and you grab that and you smoke it, it isn't very long till your flesh says, I want another. You say, well, wait a second. I just gave you one. Yeah, I know, but when I'll get home, I want another. Yeah, but your flesh can never be satisfied. That's why God says in verse 11, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. If you give your flesh everything today, it will want tomorrow. That's why if you're going to live a happy Christian life, you have to learn to say, you're dead. Reckon yourselves to be dead. It is so because I have a flesh that I'm living in that wants to control me. How do I let Jesus rule? By saying, you know what? My flesh is dead. I am not going to follow that which is death when I'm alive in Christ. Amen? So, read verse 11 again. Watch this. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, Romans chapter 6, 1 through 11, I think explains the baptism. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Okay? The one baptism is when you were placed in Christ, and that's what Romans 6 is teaching on. But to understand water baptism, amen, this is foundational, right? So to show you that, go to Mark chapter 1. Go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1, and we'll look at a few places here, and I think you'll see what we're driving home. Mark chapter 1. Look at verse 4, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. And there went out unto him all the land of Judea and they of Jerusalem and were all baptized of him in the river of Jordan. Okay, that's water baptism. Okay, verse 4. And verse 5 is water baptism. Now look over at verse 8. John says here, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. So there's two baptisms there, right? Here's the danger. If you aren't careful when you read your Bible, you're going to think every time you read the word baptism, it's talking about the tank, and it's not. It's called careless Bible reading. Look at what he's talking about. If you've been baptized in Christ, that's talking about the day you got saved. If it's talking about baptism in water, then praise the Lord. It's talking about the tank. But he said here, baptism in water, baptism in the Holy Ghost. Notice what happened in verse number 9. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan, and straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit like a dove descending upon him. So he came up out of the water. That's how come we dip backwards and then you come up out of the water, just like that. Now there's one church type church, they baptize forward because they say Jesus never did anything backwards. And I want to, and I think that's goofy because, okay, great, you went forward, how do you get him out? You're going to go backwards some way, or what do? Put them in forward, rotate them, and then bring them up. That's kooky. Nobody, I baptized some pretty heavy people that I could not have rotated in the water. Amen. Jesus comes straightway out of the water. Amen. And that's why he didn't wipe his forehead. Amen. He didn't have wet clothes on because they poured water. He went down into the water and came up straightway out of the water. Two baptisms mentioned here. Now go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. And look at verse 32. Philip is going to preach to the eunuch. And he's in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, and God leads Philip to come up to him. And look at verse 32, the place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare this his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? Watch verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. He didn't preach baptism. He preached Jesus from Isaiah. Then watch this. And as they went on their way, verse 36, and came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And when you hit verse 37, Philip opened up his NIV and it wasn't there. Verse 37 was gone. Then he went to the Revised Standard Version and verse 37 was gone. And he went to the ESV and it was gone. And Philip finally picked up his King James Bible and there was verse 30. Okay, you understand. I'm just making a point here, right? Okay, that's scary when verse 37 isn't in most Bibles. It's gone. Because if verse 37 isn't there, then you don't have to get saved before you get baptized. Because look at how important verse 37 is. There's a reason the devil wanted it out of the Bibles. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. You underline the word mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I think we can draw a couple of conclusions from verse 37. You ready? Number one, you can't get baptized in the tank until you've believed on Jesus, which is being baptized in Jesus. Philip was not going to baptize anybody until they believed on Jesus Christ. Notice he said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. He did not say thou must get baptized. Because what you must do is get born again. That you have to get saved. And if you're saved, you may get baptized. Amen. But if you have not been saved, you may not get baptized scripturally. Amen. So we're drawing a conclusion here. Of course, then in verse 38, it says here, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. Take your Bible and go to chapter 10. Look at Acts chapter 10. And Peter is going to preach the gospel to the first Gentile, because he has the keys of the kingdom. Okay? And so Peter is going to be used of God to open the first door to the Gentiles, and he has the keys to the kingdom, and he's also going to be the apostle to the Jews. So here's Peter leading the first Gentile to Christ in chapter 10. Look at verse number 39. Ready? Acts chapter 10, verse 39. It says, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. What's that? That's the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Peter just told Cornelius how to get saved. Watch verse 42. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and dead. To him, to Jesus, give all the prophets witness. That means all the prophets of the Old Testament. That through his name, through the name of Jesus, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission or release or forgiveness of sins. That's what Jesus has taught in the Old Testament. Then he says here, watch, verse 44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here we go, verse 47. God says here, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? There's two baptisms there again. They heard the word. They believed. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost. They got saved. And then they got in the tank. We could say, I know they went down to the river, but just humor me, okay? I know they didn't have a tank. But does everybody see the progression? They were first baptized in the Holy Ghost. That's when you get saved. Jesus does that when he saves you, when you're placed in Christ. This whole story, the next chapter, is rehearsed. Look over at chapter 11. Look at verse 13. And he gives a story again, and he's telling the story of how Cornelius got saved. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words, truth, whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how he had said, John indeed baptized. Remember when we read Mark? John baptized with water, but there come one after who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. Ready? So he's quoting. It says here, he says, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, for as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? There it is again. They heard the words of God. They believed and they got saved. They were baptized with the Holy Ghost, and then they followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. Take your Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Two more spots. Ready? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Here we go. Look at verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 12, 12. I just want you to see verse 12 and 13. For as the body is one, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So when you got saved, you were put in Jesus Christ. You were put in his body. Now that's talking about in heaven, right? Then look at verse 13. For by one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. That can't be water baptism. That is salvation. You should have written in your Bible, salvation, right next to verse 13. Okay? So when you get saved, you're baptized. There it is again. You're baptized into Christ. You're put in his body. Then it says, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. Okay, if you underline the word drink, that is proof that verse cannot be talking about water baptism. I think Arissa and Jacob would have had serious doubts if they watched me baptize somebody and said, instead of me saying, okay, I'm going to cover your nose and mouth and hold your breath, if I said, open your mouth wide, because when you go under, you're going to drink it all in. Okay, wait a second. If verse 13 is water baptism, which it's not, it says you drink of what you're being baptized in, right? That's not, okay, we don't do that. Let's go back to normal. Verse 13 is talking about when you're placed in Christ, he comes inside you to live. Amen. Full. You're filled. God, all of God comes inside you to live. You're placed in Christ and he comes into you to live. That is a spirit. That is not water baptism. But verse 13 is used to describe, see, when you're baptized, then you're placed in the church and you can become a member. That's not the verse I would use. I'd use Acts 2:41 with that. They that gladly received his word were baptized and were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's the verse I would use for that. But don't use 1 Corinthians 12:13. Or you're going to end up with a mess. Okay? Let's show you one more. Go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I thought we would take advantage of this morning and of people in our church, praise the Lord, following the Lord in believer's baptism. Amen. And then just an understanding and to try to help us. But I'll say it once again, if you don't read your Bible carefully, you're going to put in there what you think it means, and you're going to cause more confusion because of what than what it actually means. And people casually, they don't carefully read their Bible, they casually read it. Oh, baptism, well, that's got to be water baptism. Careful. Water baptism is in your Bible, but it's not first. You being baptized in Jesus is what's first. Here we go. Look at Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 9. Ready? Colossians 2 verse 9. Look what happened when you got saved. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's in Jesus. And ye are, praise the Lord, complete in him. We're complete in Jesus, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised. Okay, if you don't know what circumcision is, it's what a descendant of Abraham did to physically mark their body so that it reminded them of their covenant with God. Okay? Now, there's other reasons for circumcision, but that's how God started it. It was a mark of the body to remind a descendant of Abraham that they belong to God. But that is not this circumcision. Read verse, watch this, look at verse 11 again. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That means that's something God did, not man. So when you got saved, God circumcised your spirit. Let's just use the word cut. What did God cut when he saved you? You could read Hebrews 4 verse 12 or Hebrews 4 16. God took your soul and your that was mesh, your flesh was joined to your spirit, and God cut your flesh off as dead, so that now he, when your spirit is saved, you no longer, once again, Romans 6, have to do what the flesh tells you to do. You have a choice. When you got saved, God did surgery on you so that you don't have to live in the bondage of sin. You can sin if you want to, and that's when you do sin, when you want to. But never, if you're saved, you never sin because you have to. Amen. You were circumcised without hands. Watch what happens here. It says, in putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Notice there's a colon there. It's not a period. Watch verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein ye also are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. So in verse 11, you have a circumcision that God did when you got saved. And in verse 12, you have a baptism that God did when you got saved. He baptized you into Christ, right? That's what we're talking about this morning. There's one baptism that comes before the tank. Amen? It's all through the Bible. Nowhere in the Bible was anybody water baptized before they were baptized in Jesus Christ. Nowhere. Did you know this morning, on Sunday morning in America, there'll be thousands of babies baptized across America, and not one of them will be placed in Christ. Not one. They'll be just as dead spiritually after they're baptized as they were before. It's a fancy bath. You want to call it that? What is a baby bath? It's a fancy bath. This morning in many churches in America, there'll be people baptized who haven't trusted Jesus, and they won't be any more in Christ after they get out of the tank than they were before they got in, because they've never trusted Jesus. But somebody told them that if you get in this water here, it washes away your sin. This water does not wash away sin. Only the blood of Jesus washes away sin. And that only happens at the first baptism, when you're baptized in Christ. Aren't you glad we're complete in him, like it says? Now take your Bible and go back to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? The whole, you were placed in Christ so you could live a new life. That's really what baptism is a picture of. The burial of the old and the rising of the new, right? But that took place out of the water. Now, the reason this also, Romans 6, cannot be water baptism. It cannot. Because God says, when you got saved, we're a happy Christian is one who says, my life doesn't belong to me. I'm here on this earth to live for the Lord. He saved me from a burning hell, and I'm alive forever because of him. And our life is supposed to be spent in gratitude, right? Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. And to the degree you're thankful is the degree you're happy. Amen? Now, when you get in the tank, you eventually get out of the tank. Praise the Lord. That's a good thing. But when you got baptized the first time and when you were put in Christ, you never get out of Christ. When we come to church, we leave church. Okay? Now, to help you with this, I think when we're in church, okay, how many people, don't raise your hand on this. Matter of fact, don't even look at somebody right now. Okay? But if I said, how many people talk to your family different out of church than you do in church? And I'm glad there should be a respect for church. I think there should be a sanctification. Church should be church, okay? But how many people talk to their family different at home than they talk to them at church? That's because they come in church and they leave church. When you're in Jesus Christ, you never leave. It'd be just like this. How can you be in Christ, saved, and tell a lie? How can you fornicate or have sex outside of marriage in Christ? If you would, verse 11, Romans 6, 11, reckon ye yourselves to be dead indeed also unto sin. If you would realize you're dead, you don't have to live that way. You can live for God. Then you don't, how could I live that way while I'm in Christ? We don't do that here. Wait a second. I'm talking about you and your Christian life. I don't do that here. I don't steal. I'm in Christ. And I never leave. Amen. It's not like the tank where we get in and we get out. Praise the Lord. It's not like church where we come in and we go back out. When you're in Jesus, baptized the first time into Christ, into his death, you never leave. You're always there because he's forever resurrected from the dead. This morning, I wanted you to think about salvation. And we rejoice with those who follow the Lord in believers' baptism. But understanding when we read our Bible, it's different. Amen. There's two different baptisms. If you want to get specific, there's more. Jesus said, I have a baptism to be straightened with, and how can ye be straightened till I fulfill it? What was he telling? He said, I'm going to be baptized in your judgment. Jesus was immersed or baptized in my judgment for my filth on the cross. He was tortured to death in my place. That's how come when I trust him, I'm baptized in him and he comes into me. Amen. This morning, I just wanted to liken the two and use the baptism of someone who's been baptized the first time, right? And show you in the Bible some things where if we aren't careful, we're going to put water baptism where it doesn't belong. And then you're going to cause confusion when you read that section of scripture. I hope this is a help. Let's pray. Father, please use this morning. Thank you that we don't have to serve.